a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Now on the internet, so we are live and on the internet, so as a precaution to those in attendance, let's get your phones on vibrate, silent, or so whatever, so we're courteous to those that are testifying so we don't have the interruptions in the background or from the committee. So if you could be so courteous to those that are in the room to put them on vibrate or silent or off. Another little thing we want to do is I'll get even. We'll have the pages introduce themselves. If you please come to the mic and introduce yourselves, where you're from, and just enlighten us. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Kirby Krogman from White River.
And I'm Felicia Ryman from Rapid City.
Well, welcome, and I hope you're having a positive experience while you're here spending 2 weeks with us. We just really have one house bill to deal with. I'm stalling, as you can tell, and not doing a real good job of it. Representative Nostra.
Personal privilege.
Please. Granted.
I want to take the time to introduce Leadership Aberdeen. Since it's Aberdeen Day, we have the red shirts that you see around the Capitol. We'll let you know that Aberdeen is here, and there's quite a few of them. So welcome the Aberdeen group, please. Thank you.
Well, welcome, Aberdeen, and such an appropriate color for this stage of the session. It's just that so red. Blood and vote no. Go big red. Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As long as we have time, I'm wondering where Representative Northrup's red shirt is today.
Do you want to respond, Representative Northrup?
It's Nordstrom, by the way. I didn't go home this weekend, so I failed to remember that. So, thanks.
Okay, we are up and running. We're on the internet. We're live on the World Wide Web. And with that, if there's no other personal privileges, we'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Elliott.
Here.
Ironclad. Cobb.
Here.
Lang.
Here.
McLaughlin.
Here.
Northrop.
Here.
Russell.
Here.
Shrimp.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Street.
Here.
Vercio.
Here.
And Junkie.
Here. And Krebs excused.
Excused.
A quorum present. So we have a quorum present. So we are official. Everybody, the minutes have been distributed to the members of the committee. Is there any comments, questions? Moved by Street, seconded by Shrimp. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes so approved. Well, we're going to jump into our final House bill of the 2010 session. We have posted House Bill 1262, which adjusts certain registration fees for the users of motor vehicles on the public highways. The prime sponsor has asked that this to be tabled, but there was a Hoghouse amendment that was drafted, so I had the pages distributed. With that, we'll open up basically... I guess there's no proponent, no opponent, unless anyone wants to come to the mic on 1262 as just a one-line holding bill. Seeing none, we'll close to, well, we'll skip questions and go to committee action in our comment. Representative Northrup.
I move to table House Bill 1262.
Second. Moved by Northrup, second by Russell to table House Bill 1262, a non-debatable motion. With that, the secretary call the rolls. All those in favor in the tabling motion of 1262 will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary call the roll.
Representative Elliott.
No.
Ironclad. Cobb.
Yes.
Lang.
Aye.
McLaughlin.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Street.
No.
Vercio.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye. Tabling motion have an affirmative vote of 9-2 is so passed. 1262 is tabled. With that, we will just, there's been no request to shuffle the schedule on the Senate bills. We have Senate Bill 14, Senate Bill 16, and Senate Bill 17 posted. So with that, we'll open up the hearing on Senate Bill 14, proponent testimony on Senate Bill 14. Welcome. Mike.
I'm sorry?
You want to start over?
I will start over.
For the benefit of those on the internet.
Okay. Again, I'm Pat Fay. I'm with the Department of Public Safety. And this morning I bring before you Senate Bill 14, which is our update of the motor carrier safety regulations and the hazardous material regulations that we bring before this body every year. We update these annually because the carriers that travel in and through South Dakota encounter these regulations daily and in through all the other states they travel in. So we stay current with that with the other states. We conduct approximately 28,000 commercial vehicle inspections every year in this state. So it's very important that we stay current and that we use the current set of regulations that the carriers are trying to operate under as they travel across the United States. The update that this year, really, there is only one, what I would call a major change in the regulations, and that pertains to intermodal carriers. Intermodal carriers, prior to December of 2008, were not regulated very closely, and an intermodal container, as I've tried to meet with most of you, just a very brief description of that is a container. If you visualize a cargo ship crossing the ocean carrying semi-trailer boxes stacked usually five or six tall and several wide on a ship with goods that are transported to the United States, then they're loaded onto a trailer frame and taken to whatever business or wherever that freight may be destined. And they had very little regulation, and they were having a lot of incidents on highway with those. So they just increased some of the regulation and required that they be inspected, and they meet certain inspection requirements so that they are in good, safe condition as they're traveling on our roads. That really is about the only change or major change in the safety regulations part. The hazardous material portion of it, there was very little change in this past year. But again, we still make that. It's all under one section of state code that we adopt those regulations. This bill did come across on consent from the Senate side and had favorable comments from both the Trucking Association and the Petroleum Marketers Association. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I just ask for your favorable support on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 14. Good morning. And I forgot to announce, if you're going to testify as a proponent or opponent of any of the posted bills, please sign in. Welcome. Sorry about that interruption.
No problem. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Donna Lightsky. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association, and we just want to show our support for this bill. It's very important that we do update these hazardous material codes every single year so that we do stay current when we pass through different states. And we represent all the propane and petroleum that's hauled in the state. So we ask you to pass this. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents of Senate Bill 14. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 14. Seeing none, any opponents to Senate Bill 14? Once again, any opponents to Senate Bill 14? Seeing none, no need for a rebuttal. So we'll go to questions of the proponents. Questions of the committee of the proponents. Oh, we're an agreeable bunch this morning. Seeing no questions of the proponents of Senate Bill 14, we will move to committee discussion and our action. Representative Steele.
Mr. Chair, I move that we do pass.
Moved by Representative Steele, seconded by Representative Ellett. Do pass on Senate Bill 14. Any comments, Representative Steele?
No, I think it's just some routine that we definitely need to be doing, and we're keeping it updated, and that's good. Thank you.
Any other comments on the do pass motion on Senate Bill 14? Seeing none, committee will close to committee discussion and go to action on Senate Bill, on the do pass motion on Senate Bill 14. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Elliott.
Aye.
Ironclad.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Lang.
Aye.
McLaughlin.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Verschio.
Aye.
And Junkie.
Aye.
12-0.
12-0. Senate Bill 14 do pass. Oh, moved by Street. Consent, second by Hiroshio. If everybody's laughing, I did get a proper phonetic for Verroshio. Verroshio. I can't even do it when you put it to me in front. Seconded by the guy on the end. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Senate Bill 14 is on consent. Does anybody want to volunteer to carry that on the floor and in both caucuses? Street? You want to take it on the floor and the caucus? Anybody else want to take it on the floor? You want to take it on the floor? Representative Steele on the floor and Republican caucus and Representative Street in the Democrat caucus. Well, thank you. With that, we will move to the next posted scheduled bill is Senate Bill 16, an act to revise certain commercial driver licensing provisions and penalties. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 16.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Cindy Gerber, Director of the Driver Licensing Program in the Department of Public Safety. I'm bringing this bill to you today because of change to the federal commercial driver licensing regulations. Senate Bill 16 increases the penalties for drivers and employers convicted of violating an out-of-service order. And what this means is the driver was placed out of service, but they continued to drive anyway. The increased penalties include the disqualification of driving privileges for a first conviction is increased from a 90-day to 180-day disqualification. And the second is increased from a one-year to a two-year disqualification. The civil penalties are also increased. The minimum civil penalty for a driver for a first conviction goes from not less than $1,100 nor more than $2,750 to not less than $2,500 for a first conviction and not less than $5,000 for a second or subsequent. The maximum civil penalty for an employer who knowingly allows requires, permits, or authorizes a driver to operate a commercial motor vehicle in violation of an out-of-service order goes from $11,000 to $25,000. The minimum penalty remains unchanged. The rest of the bill is a pretty big bill, but the rest of it is cleanup and adopting of federal regulations throughout the bill. Section 9 repeals some language that's obsolete, and Sections 11, 12, and 13 contain cleanup language which makes state law consistent with the federal regs. The federal regs, the language is 16 or more passengers, including the driver, while our statute says more than 16 passengers. The section of law has always been administered according to the federal regs, but we recently noticed the incorrect language that we have in state law, so we're making the change to that here. It's important to note that the portion of this bill dealing with disqualifications affects a very small number of drivers in South Dakota. Last year, in calendar year 2009, there were only three disqualifications for drivers who were convicted of driving while out of service. Out of the 54,000 valid CDL holders in South Dakota, that's a pretty minimal amount of drivers that it will affect. These changes bring us into compliance with the CDL regulations. The penalty for being out of compliance is loss of federal highway funds, MXHAP funds, and the loss of the ability to issue commercial driver licenses. Based on fiscal year 09 numbers, the amounts that we would stand to lose are 5% for the first year of noncompliance, which is between $8 and $9 million, and 10% for second and subsequent years, which is about $17.5 million. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Assistance Program funds that would be in jeopardy are in the amount of approximately $650,000 to $800,000. With that, I will end my testimony, and I would ask for your support of Senate Bill 16. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gerber. Further proponents of Senate Bill 16. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, good morning. Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. The Department of Transportation strongly supports passage of Senate Bill 16 in order to avoid the loss of a portion of our federal highway funds. Particularly in these uncertain times of funding, we need to try to preserve whatever highway funds might be made available to us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further proponents of Senate Bill 16. Further proponents to Senate Bill 16. Seeing none, any opponents to Senate Bill 16? Any opponents to Senate Bill 16? Seeing no opponents, we'll fly right by the rebuttal and go to questions of the committee of the proponents of Senate Bill 16. Any questions? Representative Russell.
I don't know who this would be posed to, if it be either Ms. Gerber or Mr. Nevin. But as it relates to the 180 days that someone would lose their ability to drive under this, going from 90 to 180 days, would there be a lesser, like a lesser included offense that a state's attorney might be able to have some discretion to make sure that someone who's never been convicted of this before would not automatically lose their license for the 180-day period? And I know that's probably a tough question. Maybe Mr. Nevin could answer it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Russell, I'm not sure I can answer the question. Cindy may be able to better answer that.
She's coming. She's consulting. I think she was getting a consulting. You want the question restated, Ms. Gerber?
No, I think
okay.
I'm fine.
Okay, thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I don't think that there would be anything else that they could charge him with. I guess that the state's attorneys probably could review all the CDL laws, but this is a violation after a violation, so they're already been placed out of service, and then the officer would charge them with driving while out of service. I don't know that there would be anything that they could charge in place of that.
Follow up, Representative Russell?
Yes. Would there be a circumstance where you could charge them with something else other than this statute for this type of an offense? And I know that that's probably asking the same question a different way. But sometimes that's helpful. I don't know if you know whether or not you could charge them with something other than this for this type of a violation.
Mr. Chairman?
Ms. Gerber?
I'm not aware of anything else that they could charge it with. But again, like I said, there might be something on the books. But there's nothing I'm aware of that they could charge them with, because it's pretty specific to the fact that they've been placed out of service and now they've been caught while they've been placed out of service, driving anyway.
Follow-up.
What kind of an offense would essentially, what's a general type of an offense or offenses that could put somebody out of service?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the question, Representative Russell. I'm going to answer this, but then I'm going to ask for clarification from Captain Fahey and just say yes or no to make sure I've stated this correctly. But one of them that I'm aware of, for instance, would be if there's evidence of alcohol in a commercial driver's breath, they are placed immediately out of service for 24 hours. I can't tell you how often that happens. I don't know. And the other one would be hours of service violations. Is that good?
Yeah, you want to come and just clarify it for peace of mind? Sure. We got time. So thank you for coming back up.
Jeff. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Fay with the Department of Public Safety again. If I could, I'll back up kind of to your question a little bit. You need to remember that this violation is, as Ms. Gerber mentioned, is a violation after a violation has already occurred. In other words, a serious violation, something serious enough for us to declare that driver out of service has already occurred. He's went through court. It's not just a violation of that. He's went through court, been convicted of it, and then he is taking is placed out of service based on that conviction. And then he violates that conviction order of being out of service. So it's a driver that has extended himself well beyond what I guess what I would call what we run into on a not really daily basis, but occasionally of a driver because they have driven more hours than they should, and we just place them out of service. So it's based on an out of service after a conviction. So they've been through the court system already. They know that they aren't supposed to be driving. Another good example of a violation would be driving under revocation. If a person is driving under revocation, we find them, place them out of service, and they're convicted of that citation that we would have issued for that violation, and then they drive again. So it's somebody that's been through several steps of the legal process already. That these are the people that we're talking about here. It's not someone that just drove 12 hours instead of his 11 hours that he should have. These are people that have done things well beyond what we normally encounter. And as Cindy mentioned, too, there are very few that we actually find in this case throughout the course of our business. Fortunately, most drivers heed the warning. When we take them out of service, they remain out of service until they're allowed to continue driving, which could be anywhere from a matter of, depending on the time of day, it could be a matter of an hour or two up to maybe a day or two, depending on the violation.
Follow up, Representative Russell.
So if, in fact, someone was driving 12 hours instead of 11 in a 24-hour period, and they got convicted of that, is there a mandatory minimum as it relates to how long they are put out of service?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Representative Russell, how that would take place would be if we find a driver that has overdriven his hours, we would issue them, we may or may not issue them a citation, depends on the circumstance, and the driver at that point would be placed out of service until he had hours to drive again. And that's why I say, it, depending on when it happens, it may only be a matter of a few minutes. If he stopped at 11:30 in the evening, the next day at midnight is when that day changes again. And so that person then would be allowed to drive and continue to drive. So he the out-of-service order that we would have instated at that point would be removed. He'd no longer be under out-of-service at that point once he's able to drive again. What this is referring to is someone that has been convicted of that out-of-service and is still out-of-service and continues to drive. So it wouldn't affect those drivers that, because of a logbook or an hours of service violation, are taken out for a short time and then continue on. It would have no effect on them.
Representative Russell?
And I'm just trying to understand it. But if in fact they're convicted, is there a mandatory minimum under this statutory scheme in with the federal government as it relates to how many days or weeks or anything that they would be placed out of service upon a conviction?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Russell, they would be placed out of service until such time that they correct that out-of-service condition. So in the case of, say, a revoked driver's license, once they become eligible to reinstate their driver's license and once they have actually taken the steps to get a driver's license, now they're no longer out of service. So, but there's nothing that the court, I guess I can't speak for the court. I suppose they have the ability to impose whatever they want to, but in most cases that wouldn't take place. As soon as the driver was eligible and took the steps to make himself good, he'd be allowed to go.
Reverend Steele.
Thank you. I'm not sure if this is what Representative Russell is getting at, but I think back as a young man, having four little kids at home, and getting a couple bucks an hour. I can see where in that situation, I wasn't a trucker, I never have been, but I can see in that situation where a man might feel obligated to have to run because he has to furnish for his family and that's all he knows. Is that where the judge can use some leniency? Is there some flexibility there? I don't know if that's what we're asking here or what. I'm wondering on that.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Steele, I believe, are you asking about like a work order or something to that, a work permit?
Something that the judge would be able to have some flexibility instead of a hard, fast rule on it, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I guess, you know, what the judge always has the flexibility to take cases and, you know, do as he feels appropriate for any particular situation. So I would think that they would have that latitude of, in their sentence, to take that. I can't speak for the court. That you'd have to, you know, check with someone much more knowledgeable, as they say, a few pay grades higher than mine on an answer for that.
Further questions of the proponents of Senate Bill 16? Further questions? Seeing none, committee will close to questions and move to committee discussion and or action. I was going to go to the guy to your right if I could think how to say his name. I'll put it right up here in front of me.
Virtue.
Representative Virtue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Perfect job. I don't want to make any moves. I want to have a little bit of discussion here, and knowing my propensity to want to stick it in the eye of some organizations, you know, the federal government, I think this is excessively punitive, and I realize it's federal. I'm not talking about the state, but all these constant threats of losing all of our funding. I'd sure like us to call their bluff one time and see what would really happen. Thank you.
Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move due pass.
Been moved by Representative Russell. Due pass is our second. Representative Street, second by Representative Street. Comments on the due pass motion, Representative Russell.
In coming in here today, I thought that I would probably be voting no on this particular bill. However, based upon the testimony, I feel rather confident that if someone were driving 12 hours instead of 11 hours, that the judge in the circumstance would have discretion. And that was my main concern, is that, and I don't know that we got exactly the answer that I wanted. However, I don't know that they're in a position to answer that either. But I feel comfortable that there would be discretion on the part of the judge on the first sentence to make sure that it's not some arbitrary federal a directive that you are going to lose your license for 60 days or 90 days or what have you, and then thereby put somebody out of work. And that was my main concern, because I've dealt with cases where there's a gentleman with a driving under the influence charge, and he wasn't driving a commercial vehicle, he wasn't doing anything like that, and if he never had anything on his record. And if he pled guilty to that driving under the influence charge, he would lose his license for an entire year, his CDL, under this scheme of state and federal, where we're simply trying to comply with federal. So that's my concern, is where they give us the judge no discretion to look at a certain circumstance where somebody has never had a conviction in their life. So I let that guy plead down. It was clearly a driving under the influence charge, but he had never had a prior and a clean record, as even very few speeding tickets or anything. I don't even think he had anything on his record. So that's what I was trying to avoid when I came in here, was that kind of arbitrary federal government mandate on us that it was just totally ridiculous. And I don't think that that's where we're at here, so I'd ask the committee to pass this to the floor. Thank you.
Other comments on the due pass on Senate Bill 16? Other comments? Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the cross-examination got across pretty well, and I realize we're to ask questions and so on, but I do think that Representative Russell did get the answers that we all needed.
Further comments on the do-pass motion? Further comments? Representative Shrimp.
Yeah, I got a little comment to make on what Representative Russell said. I know of a person that had one beer, and he's a commercial driver, and he was driving the car, and he got caught, and he was laid off for a long time before he could go back on the truck. And I think it's too strong for just being caught one time with no other infractions on his driver's license, so I just can't support this. Thank you.
Further comments on the due pass? Any comments on the due pass motion? Seeing none, the motion on the table is due pass on Senate Bill 16. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Representatives Elliott.
Aye.
Ironclad.
Aye.
Cobb.
No.
Lang.
Aye.
McLaughlin.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Shrimp.
No.
Steele.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Verschio.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
10-2.
The due pass motion has been an affirmative on Senate Bill 16, 10-2. So Senate Bill 16 is so passed. We need to sign that. Is any volunteers on the floor? You want Representative Russell?
Yeah.
It'll be on the debate calendar. Does anybody want to take that in the other caucus? Or just make sure... They don't get assigned. Okay, backing up to Senate Bill 14. That's on Representative Steele. That's on consent, so you only have to ask questions. You won't have to debate. You know, it's 14. 14 was. 16 will be on the debate, and that is Russell. And then I'll let them handle it in their caucus or else. With that, we will move down to Senate Bill 17. Senate Bill 17 is an act to revise certain provisions regarding restricted driving permits for minors. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 17.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Gerber. I'm the director of the Driver Licensing Program and Public Safety. I bring you Senate Bill 17 today to make it more convenient for our young drivers to get their operator's license than it is today. Young drivers are required to visit an exam station up to 3 times in order to be issued a full unrestricted operator's license. First, they're issued an instruction permit, and then they go to a restricted minor's permit, and then to an operator's license. This bill is a way to remove the need for these young drivers to visit exam stations 3 times within a short time period. It allows for holders of restricted driver's licenses to upgrade to the operator's license by mail if they have not had any traffic convictions. And as you can see, Section 2 of the bill is simply cleanup. It repeals an obsolete section regarding restricted permits issued prior to January 1 of 1999. And we're removing that because no permits issued before January 1, 1999 would be valid any longer. With that, I would ask for your support of Senate Bill 17.
Thank you, Ms. Gerber. Further proponents of Senate Bill 17. Further proponents to Senate Bill 17. Seeing none, any opponents to Senate Bill 17? Any opponents to Senate Bill 17? Well, once again, we'll waive rebuttal and go to questions of the committee of the proponent to Senate Bill 17. Any questions of the committee? Seeing no questions of the committee, we'll move to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 17. Moved by Elliott, do pass. Second by... Steel. Move. Yeah, I did too. I was hoping somebody would jump in there. Moved by Elliott, seconded by Steel. Do pass on Senate Bill 17. Comments on the do pass motion? Any comments on the do pass motion on Senate Bill 17? Representative Steele.
Yeah, being the rural state that we are, I think this gives us advantageous for those in that situation. But also, these people, these young people, have set a good example, have set a good record. And I think it's a plus for them that they get a little extra bonus. That's able to send it in instead of running back and forth. So I like it.
Further comments on the do pass motion, Senate Bill 17? Seeing none, the motion on Senate Bill 17 is due pass. Those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Elliott.
Aye.
Ironclad.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Lang.
Aye.
McLaughlin.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Verschio.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
12-0.
Senate Bill 17 have an affirmative vote of 12-0 is so passed. Representative Elliott. Moves consent. Is there a second on the consent motion? By Kopp. Seconded by Kopp. All in favor will vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Senate Bill 17 is on the consent calendar. Does anybody want to volunteer on Senate Bill 17 in case there is a question? It's on consent, so it's probably. The guy on the end will take it. You can cover it, and it's on consent, so. Okay. So we're 12-0 and consent. With that committee, we should have gave up our. We should have gave the judiciary back at 11. I thought about doing that, but then sometimes you don't ever know. We have cleared our calendar for today. We're chugging along, and we have some posted for Tuesday. We have a committee hearing scheduled for Tuesday. Any questions before the committee? Seeing none, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Kopp, seconded by Steele to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. We're so adjourned.